Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress. Gifted.
And if I have a sense that you think you're not gifted, I'll probably be a little tenacious with you to prove to you that you are gifted, because God is no respecter of persons. And when we're able to tap into the gifts that God has given us and share those gifts with one another, amazing things happen in our midst. And so, again, thank you for leading us in worship, and just a great opportunity. I told you a little bit just a couple minutes ago about what we're going to do tonight, and our intention was, as we came into the very first service of 2013, that we would just bless the Lord. We would just bless the Lord, and we would just remind ourselves. Sometimes it's really important to remind yourselves that Jesus is still on the throne. We know that intellectually, but if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the things that are happening around us, and on a lot of levels get so overwhelmed that it can paralyze us. I had mentioned on this last weekend and showed us in the Word that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And He said that in His Word for a reason. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And it's because we need that going forward. And we do not need a spirit of fear. Right as we were worshiping with that last song, I was just reminded of, in the Scriptures, the difficulties and the challenges that people faced, the hardships and the heartache all the way through Scriptures. And God never sugarcoated it. God never painted a picture in the Word where things were not difficult and were not challenging. And they will be all the way up until the Lord comes back. They will be difficult and they will be challenging, but there will always be a grace that's sufficient, and there will always be the remnant that will rise above circumstance and rise above situation, and no matter what's happening in the world around us, we can be the salt and the light of the earth. And that's what God has intended for us to do. And so the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit is yet ahead for all of us. I was thinking right as I walked in how quickly seasons come and go. You walked in and you saw all of the Christmas decorations. If you walk in here tomorrow night at this time, you will see none of them, because tomorrow they're all coming down. All of those decorations are coming down. And so whether we're talking about a physical season that comes and goes with a holiday and the decorations and all of those things, or the spiritual seasons in our lives that come and go, they do come and go. I don't know what 2012 looked like for you. And I don't know if going into 2013 you're optimistic, pessimistic, or somewhere in between. But I thought about a challenge, if you will, that I want to share with us, and it really fits in so well with that last song that we just sang, that Chris just led us in. And this was the statement that I felt like the Lord kind of gave me for my life for 2013, and I want to share it with you, and then you can figure out between now and December 31st of 2013 how to do that. And here's the statement: living to please God. Living to please God. God, give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart. Not a soul divided, not a heart divided. But if we can go into 2013 with that desire to live to please God, God is going to do amazing things in our lives. I think we often go into a new year with resolutions, whether we write them down or whether we store them in here. We go into a new year with resolutions. I'm gonna submit something to you a little bit differently, and then I want to read something to you out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Instead of a revolution, how about an evaluation? Let's go into 2013 evaluating something. And before I tell you what that is that we're going to evaluate, I want to read something to you from 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 5, and you can write it down, and you can refer back later, or you can read both of the books. Both of the letters were written by Paul passionately. Paul was not there at the time, but Paul had founded this church, Thessalonica, and a lot of people think that Paul was probably there for about 3 weeks. And so he goes into the heart of this place called Thessalonica, where Alexander the Great put down roots, and just the Greek influence swung full stream through Thessalonica. Paul, man of God comes in there, and he's there for about 3 weeks, and he radically turns the place upside down. One man preaching the gospel radically turns the place upside down. You can radically turn your world upside down. And so often it comes down to evaluations. And I'm going to give you a couple things to evaluate going into 2013. But I want to read several verses to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I was thinking about it as I was standing over there with Pastor Roger. If one word resonates in your heart through the reading of these verses, and I'm going to start in verse 12, where Paul is saying final instructions. The chapter before that, chapter 4, is where Paul actually says we should live to please God. And so maybe as I was reading today and I was meditating on things, that's where that statement came, living to please God. But listen to Paul's final instructions, because he's writing to the church at Thessalonica because they're becoming a little bit overwhelmed with what's happening. People are talking about the second coming and Jesus is coming back, and they're talking about all of the things that are happening in the world, the fiscal things and all of that, and they're getting a little bit overwhelmed. And here's what Paul says. Now we ask you, brothers, starting in verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you and who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Now listen to some of these just powerful, just little zinger words that Paul is using to encourage a people who are wondering what the future holds. Live in peace with each other. Think about that. Live in peace with each other. We urge you, brothers, and we warn you who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. How challenging would that one statement be for 2013? Be patient with everyone. That means the DMV. That means all of those places. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now listen to verse 16. Be joyful always. These are marks of genuine, passionate living to please God. These would be some marks that we could say would mark a life of somebody that desires to please God. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So what is God's will for me in 2013? To be joyful always. To pray continually. To give thanks in all circumstances. Not for all things, but in all things. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now notice verse 19, and we're going to move into this. We're going to talk much more about this coming into January and February when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. In other words, let's emphasize and utilize and passionately pursue the gifts that God has given us. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now verse 23. Here's where I want to give you a couple things maybe to think about evaluating as we go into 2013. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now, the end of verse 23 says this, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So, Paul is writing these two letters, and probably they were written within a day or two maybe of each other, and he sends them to this church, and he's throwing out these little zinger words about how to go into the future when the future is uncertain. Be joyful, be thankful, doing those kinds of things and certain things that we're to avoid. And then he says this, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul seems to refer here to three phases of the human person. Now, I know there's debate in the church today. Are we a triune being? Are we two-part? Are we three-part being? I want to submit to you for tonight, according to God's word. Paul says, may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. So three-part being, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your spirit is that part of your being that came alive when you gave your heart to Christ. And then your body is this physical temple which houses God's spirit. And so here's what I want to ask you to evaluate. instead of resolutions going into 2013, evaluation. Evaluation with a question in three areas. And I'm going to tell you what the question is. And the three areas are in the area of your body, the area of your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, and then in the area of your spirit. Here's the question. Are you in those three areas, body, soul, and spirit? Say body, soul, spirit. Here's the question. Are you under, adequately, or over-challenged in any or all three of those areas? Are you in any of those three areas, in the area of your body, your physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If we're going to do what God has called us to do in 2013, then we need to take care of this temple. God has given me this temple, and I need to take care of it. So my body, my soul, which is my mind, my emotions, and my will, and then my spirit, which is that part of my being that reflects God's spirit and God's word and communes with God. And in those three areas, are you under-challenged? Is there one of those areas maybe where in 2012 you were under-challenged? Were you under-challenged in the area of your soul, in your mind, your emotions, and your will? Were you adequately challenged? Or were you over-challenged? And the reason I'm asking that we do an evaluation going into 2013, Paul was confident that those that were placed in Thessalonica could do everything that God had called them to do. God is confident that you and I can do everything that God wants us to do in 2013. Absolutely everything. God is confident that we can do it. But we have to evaluate. When we were singing, "Give us clean hands and a pure heart," what does that take? It takes cooperation. It takes thinking about, God, am I living a life where I do have clean hands and a pure heart before you? That I'm not lifting my hands in idol worship to something. So, are you under-challenged in an area, body, soul, and spirit? If so, rise to a challenge. Evaluate. God, where do you want me to rise? What area do you want me to rise to a challenge in 2013, the area of my body? In the area of my soul, is there an area that you want me to rise to? Or was there an area where you were adequately challenged in 2012? And so now it's time to focus maybe in another area. Here's something that can be dangerous and we need to pay attention to. Over-challenged. If you are over-challenged, then you need to ask some reflective questions. If you're over-challenged in an area, is it because you're outside of your bullseye? You're outside of your sweet spot. You're outside of the area where God knows you can have the greatest impact or the greatest influence. Because we can't live over-challenged too long. If we live over-challenged too long, something will start to leak. A couple weeks ago, I did a message called Not Living a Leaky Life. And the way that we live a life that's not leaky is paying attention to the small things. So, if you're under-challenged, you'll probably be bored or distracted. If you're adequately challenged, there's going to be good balance. And what I would say then is look for opportunities. In 2013, look for opportunities. If you're over-challenged, long-term, ask what must change. What must change going into 2013? So it's an evaluation. And I think as Paul was talking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's a lot about evaluation. Be joyful always. I need to evaluate that. Pray continually. Am I adequately challenged in the area of praying continually? Or am I under-challenged? Am I over-challenged in one of these areas? And I think as we do that, we can go into 2013 with just some great excitement in our hearts and some great anticipation. Do you believe God has great things for you in 2013? He does. And so my challenge then to us is let's live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I've said a lot. I'm going to ask you to reflect on that. I'm going to ask Chris to come back out here. I'm going to sing another song and just worship the Lord. But let me just ask through a prayer that God would help us just to ponder what His Word says. I said when I started to read His Word, if something just leapt off the page at you as we read it, whether it was the word sanctify or joyful or not to put out the Spirit's fire, God, we just ask that we would just have a great sensitivity to You in 2013. And Father, we want to evaluate because, God, we know that You've got so many amazing things for each and every one of us out there. And so, Lord, as we look to the future, we do it with great hope, with bright promise, and anticipation for wonderful things. In Jesus' name.
Sing this song tonight. We're going to sing Jesus All for Jesus. Feel free to stand with us. Feel free to sit and reflect. And plans, all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these to your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these to your hands. For it's only in your will, for it's only in your will. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus. Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have, ever hope to be. For it's only in your will. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. All of my ambitions, all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these to your hands. Oh, all of my ambitions, hopes and surrender these. to your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your
Before we move on, why don't you take, you were given some blank sermon notes when you came in. Why don't you pull those out right now? And if you haven't already written something down, write down some evaluation. As you look at your life from 2012, as you look at your life going into 2013, how would you evaluate it? Were there areas that there was too much of this, not enough of that? Something the Lord kept speaking to you about in 2012 and you kept kind of putting them on hold, ignoring the text, trying to shut down his voice. We all do that with areas in our life. Where would those be for you? Write it down. It's good to have some kind of goals as you go forward. So just take a moment right now, write a few things down. If you haven't had a chance, some of you may have already done this, but if you haven't had a chance to do it, that's one of the purposes of tonight, is just to slow down a little bit and give you a chance to reflect, to evaluate, to hear God's voice in a fresh way for your year. So while the music's playing, what's God speaking to you? Jot it down. Thank you. One of the things that the Lord's really been speaking to me about comes out of the message that Pastor George gave before Christmas about Joseph and Mary. And that's a story that I typically think about or around the Christmas season. We hear messages on it. They're in the manger scene. They're on Christmas cards. The Lord's been taking that message and giving me a January, so to speak, application for the Joseph and Mary story. Now, I'm a planner. I love to plan. Is anybody else like me? You like to plan? Like, I love to plan, you know. One-month plans, half-year plans, one-year plans, five-year plans. But I like to plan. So I've been thinking about Joseph and Mary and their plans. And their plans were to live a quiet life in a quiet town. He was going to be a carpenter. It's a very small town. Most likely they had grown up together. Most likely they had known each other practically from birth. Maybe they had kind of like liked each other in elementary school. Remember what that was like? He kind of thought, oh yeah, she's cute. Oh, he's cute. And now they're getting to the age of marriage, which was fairly young in comparison to ours. And now they're actually kind of, you know, getting married. It's not their high school sweetheart. It's kind of maybe their elementary sweetheart. You know, and Joseph's thinking, I'm going to be a carpenter. I'm going to follow my dad's footsteps. I'm going to raise my family here in Nazareth. And it's going to be a nice life. And there's Mary, and I've always respected and honored her. She's just a godly young woman. And it's going to be, life's just turning out good for me. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all his plans, comes this like screeching interruption of Mary saying, I'm pregnant, but not from a man, through the Holy Spirit. And you can imagine just his dizzying effect that would have had. First of all, that's a tall tale. And then God coming and saying, yeah, it's true. It's true, Joseph. She is still a virgin, but she's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And all his plans all of a sudden are thrown out the window. The nice, quiet little life, the respectable life, as Pastor George talked about, the whisperings all of a sudden that start going on. The seven-year plan, it goes out the window. And suddenly, he's in a current, so to speak, a river flow that isn't how he wrote his life. It's not how he decided it was going to go. God chose a different path for him. And they start to face interruption after interruption after interruption. They have to go to Bethlehem at the worst time, when she's pregnant and about to give birth. And then after, instead of returning to their quiet life in Nazareth, or at least as quiet as it can be now with the whisperings, they have to now go to Egypt, a foreign country that must have felt very out of place for this young family. They're not cosmopolitan people. All of a sudden, they find themselves in a totally foreign country, out of place, perhaps even a little despised that they're even there. Then they hear that from Bethlehem, there's been a slaughter of other innocent children because they were looking for their child. I mean, think about the guilt they would have felt. Like, wow, like, did we cause that? Was that because of us and the doubtings and the questions that they would have had to have faced? And then Jesus when he enters his ministry, he's the most controversial man in Israel. Loved by thousands, hated by thousands. So the question that God's been asking me, the goal setter, is, are you open to my interruptions? Or are your plans so set in concrete that I can't even get in? And I told him, God, I can get you in. In 2 weeks, I've got an opening. Are we open to God's interruptions? They come daily, chances to minister to people, chances to be Jesus Christ to someone. The other day I was home and I was getting ready to head off to the bicycle store to get my bike tuned up for my 2013 season, which I have lots of goals for. And all of a sudden my neighbor shows up at the door and she's crying. I'm like, what's wrong with my neighbor? She says, I'm sick. I have a doctor's appointment at 2 and I can see there's no way she can drive. She says, can you take me there? I says, yes, absolutely. So I drove her down there and then waited till her husband got there. And, you know, it wasn't really a big deal. But it's just God gives us those little divine moments that if we don't take advantage of them, sometimes they're gone. So while we're evaluating, while we're setting godly goals, are we also interruptible in case God would take us into a different direction? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a final song. And as we're singing this song, let's reflect on our evaluations, our goals, and also our interruptibility.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.